Good Sunday morning, everybody. Welcome on in. It is Fighters Fury here on 790 The Ticket. Tobin here with you as, of course, a little bit of a somber early Sunday here on Fighters Fury down here in South Florida because our boy Jorge Masvidal comes up short in the welterweight championship. Kamaru Usman defending his belt, winning by unanimous decision, 50-45 on two judges' scorecards, 49-46 on the other judges' scorecard. And he remains the welterweight champion of the world. I want to just like look. First and foremost, we'll do this. We're gonna get into the Kamaru thing because obviously I'm getting a lot of reaction last night on social media, and a lot of people are upset because Miami was riding with Jorge tonight, and they want to see their guy in a brawl. They want to see, the backyard slugger, the street Jesus, him getting the chance to baptize somebody. And when you're pressed up against the cage for the majority of the fight and, you're getting taken down the majority of the fight and you're getting your toes stomped for the majority of the fight, it doesn't present a lot of opportunities. And I can understand why that's frustrating. It's not the most exciting thing in the world to watch for sure. But it was the key to victory for Kamaru, and the guy's an absolute monster. It was a smart game plan, and that's the sport, that is the sport of mixed martial arts. George St. Pierre made a Hall of Fame career over it, defending belt after belt. Tyron Woodley had two fights against Stephen Wonderboy Thompson like that. These guys who are champions, a lot of the time what makes them great is finding that path to victory. And I got to say, a lot of people, I saw some people saying that Kamaru's going to come out of this and he's, people aren't going to want to watch him. I got to tell you, look, his last three performances, have been very exciting. And even still, that wasn't really helping him. So I don't know, outside of, him, knocking George the bleep out, I don't know what in that realm is going to make people happy. But as far as Jorge Masvidal is concerned, before we kind of get into the nitty gritty of the fight, first of all, just huge balls on Jorge for taking this fight on 6 days' notice. That's first and foremost. Not a lot of people in the sport will do that. No, nobody in boxing will ever do that. Few will do it in the realm of combat sports, let alone having to drop 20 plus pounds, let alone in the middle of a pandemic, let alone going across the world. And so I just think that has to be recognized, is that the guy went in there, and what I think really sucks for him in this regard, and it doesn't mean that he would have won anyway, but what really sucks for Jorge Masvidal is it wasn't like he was a late replacement because he didn't deserve the championship. What pisses me off about it is Jorge Masvidal deserved his championship shot, deserved to have a full training camp, deserved not to maybe get a little bit off kilter and a little bit out of shape, maybe having to drop a little too much weight in the midst of a championship fight week. That all happened because the UFC was being cheap. And that, if you're a Jorge Masvidal fan today and you're pissed off at somebody, I wouldn't be pissed off at Kamaru Usman and the way he fought. If I was going to be pissed off at anybody, and I'm a Jorge Masvidal fan, and I feel like I didn't get the best performance from my guy, Mr. 305, Street Jesus, I didn't get to see Game Bred at his top game. If you're going to be mad at anybody about that, I really think you should be mad at Dana White and the UFC for being cheapskates and not giving him what he was worth from the beginning and having to go to their C choice for Fight Island and ending up with Gilbert Burns after not paying George, not being able to come to Leon Edwards, and then ending up with a situation where you had to go to Gilbert Burns, and then late miracles happen, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, this entity that sold for $4 billion, they somehow found the means to make it right for Jorge Masvidal. So I think that if you are a Jorge Masvidal fan today and you want to be pissed off and you want to say, not a true loss. Look, true loss, not a true loss. You know my style. I'll do that with the Heat all day. Not a true loss. He didn't get a full training camp. But the reason you got to be pissed off is not the way Usman fought. The reason you should be pissed is, Jorge should have had a full training camp. He should have been probably better prepped going into fight week, maybe not having to spend so much energy cutting 20 plus pounds, maybe being in a little bit better cardio shape for that fight. Again, does it mean he wins? No. Kamaru Usman's an absolute monster, guys. And if you haven't watched him, and this was your first venture into it, you haven't watched the Nigerian Nightmare in action, he's actually been a pretty damn exciting fighter. He fought a boring fight tonight. I'm not going to sit here and say that was exciting by any means. That can't be defended. It wasn't an exciting fight, but it was a smart fight. It took him about 20 seconds into the first round to realize, I'm struggling with this guy. And when I was watching, I was watching back this week, and I was watching Colby versus Kamaru, and I was like, man, if there are exchanges in this fight, it feels like he is just way too slow for George to get the better end of any of that. And I mean, we saw that from the get go. Jorge hit him with the leg kick. He got taken down, popped back up, and even going backwards was hitting with a bunch of stuff and good exchanges, wobbled him a little bit in the first round. And then from then on, like, the game plan was like, dude, we're going to press this guy up against the cage. We're going to, Kamaru's, he is so strong, and they were going to wear and lean on Jorge, make him uncomfortable with the foot stomps, which I know is getting the meme treatment. The shoulder strikes, which everybody loved with Conor McGregor, but then, he does it. Now, he did headbutt him twice. If you want to go dirty tactics, he did cut him twice with headbutts. But, I think that is, if you're looking for things that, if you're reaching, if these guys match up again, what would be the outcome? I think there's still just going to be stylistic problems for Jorge. It was very reminiscent, and I tweeted this out after the fight, reminded me a lot of Jorge versus Damian Maya, where Masvidal had his moments against Maya, but he spent so much energy and effort in the fight trying not, and this is when Maya was on his roll, dude. He spent so much energy and effort trying to not get choked out by Damian Maya, that the instances to, quote unquote, baptize somebody were so few and far between. It exhausts you. It exhausts you. You're wearing Damian Maya like a backpack the entire time. He has Kamaru Usman leaning on the cage, stomping his feet, elbowing him in the clinch, shoulder striking him, and then eventually getting a couple takedowns and trying to push off and trying to keep him from taking down. Like, that stuff wears on you guys. So I don't think that's going away for Kamaru. Like, that can't be denied. The guy's a monster. And I know a lot of, I tweeted that out afterwards, and people were like, monster, stomped on his feet. I get you guys. But, like, look, part of this isn't boxing. This isn't kickboxing. This isn't Muay Thai. That's the element to it. Some guys win boring, it's not great. Everybody wants to see the striking show. Remember how pissed everybody was at Daniel Cormier when he fought Anderson Silva on 5 days notice because John Jones tested positive, and could he have had this fun fight and a memorable fight with Anderson Silva? Maybe, but what if he gets caught with a front face kick and then all of a sudden he's not champion anymore? What does that do for him? So, I just think it has to be said that for Jorge Masvidal, if I could just say this about him, this guy was thought of as the journeyman. This guy was thought of as maybe a gatekeeper, a 500 fighter, a mediocre fighter. For him to do what he did, if you guys can take any consolation in this, and I know he probably doesn't, and he wants to win a couple fights and get back into the title picture, but to be at his age and to have nearly two decades in pro fighting and to have everybody define your career, and you were able to get to the championship stage when everybody thought you'd never get there, that's impressive in its own right. You can say what you want about, styles and boring match, all that, just take a step back and think about the journey that it took to get there. fastest knockout in UFC history, you know, knocking out a guy who was way bigger than you, who ended up going to middleweight, and you knocked him out in his own country, flatlined him, and you had the whole world take notice of you for the first time. You know, maybe there were some of us down here who were still following Jorge. You know, we've, you know, gotten him on the show, and he's been an awesome guest for countless times. I can't, you know, be more appreciative of how great that guy's been to our radio show and station and all that type of stuff. But the world got to take a look at this guy and notice what a badass he is. What, you know, a guy who, you know, claims he doesn't love doing media stuff became this media darling who's going on Get Up and could be on late night talk shows and all this type of stuff. And is arguably right now, you know, second to Conor McGregor as far as star power in the UFC. You know, Dana White's sitting here this week and saying, this thing is trending is bigger than Conor Khabib. And then you sit back and you think, wow, imagine if you had, you know, 6 weeks to actually promote it. Maybe imagine if you signed the fight back in February, you gave people what they actually wanted money-wise. Imagine if you had media, Radio Row, and all that to lead up to this instead of 6 days. Not that I'm bitter about it or anything. But Jorge Masvidal, to get to this point, to put the game on its head and to think that this guy who's been doing it for 17 years is now one of the biggest things in the sport, finally, after, you know, being pretty anonymous for a long, long time, only, you know, really to the hardcores, you know, that's incredible, and it's awesome, and I hope the city is proud of him, and I hope the people that are supporting him and that are, you know, having his back right now and are pissed at the way that Usman fought, I hope that you guys will tune into all of his fights with this much energy every single time on the way out. Hopefully he gets another crack at the belt. He's certainly, I don't think, out of the equation, especially since he took the fight on short notice. You know, I don't know what's next for him. I would say we can get into a little bit of that coming up on the other side. We have a lot to get into from this card too, because it was an awesome night of fights. Quite frankly, the main event was probably the biggest stinker on the card, really, because the other championship fights were amazing. The main card was good. The prelims had some star stuff on it too. Main event was probably the biggest clunker of the night, to be honest with you. But man, just, I hope Miami's proud of Jorge Masvidal for what he did and to where he's gotten over the last, let's call it 18 months, you know, going away after his losses, basically, you know, going on this reality show, disconnecting from all of it, and then just starting to obliterate fools, and did it all the way to get to a championship fight where nobody probably thought he was that quality anymore. Everybody thought, ah, really? Masvidal? Yeah, writing him off. But really, look at him. He turned the game upside down and is a complete badass and has represented this city well. He, you know, flew around the world having to drop 20 pounds in the midst of people getting COVID left and right. You know, he stayed within himself and was able to go the distance. You know, didn't get finished by Kamaru Usman. Certainly looked exhausted as hell in the midst of that fight. We could break down the fight a little bit more as we come back round by round and then get into the nitty-gritty of the card. But just in the grand scheme of things, shout out to Jorge Masvidal, Gamebred. You still got a fan in me. I think you still got a lot. I think you have plenty of fans down here in the city of Miami. I think you have even more fans around the world. And we can't wait to see you fight again. So thanks for the show, man. We'll be back with more after this. Welcome back, everybody. Fighters Fury here on 790 The Ticket. Tobin here with you. Continue to recap UFC 251 from Fight Island, which, by the way, what a bleep show it started off with on the broadcast, because you had, like, it was like narrated by Ron Perlman, and They actually released it a little bit early. They released it on Dana White's Twitter account and feeds. So I had thankfully seen it because it like opens up and Masvidal's got the Heat hat and whatnot. I was like, oh, Heat hat. But then no Ron Perlman. None of the deep voice Ron Perlman. Like, where's Ron Perlman? And they're just like, it was like the track was completely left off the pay-per-view. It was so strange. So I don't know who's getting fired over that. Then we started the broadcast and you couldn't hear anybody either. It was a complete bleep show as far as that's concerned. But you know, that was definitely a strange one. Where do we want to go with this? All right, we'll start with the main event as far as the fight was concerned, and not the big picture stuff like we were talking about with Jorge. I thought he came out humming. I thought he came out humming before Kamaru got that quick takedown on him. Didn't do much with it. You know, Kamaru was pressing forward and Jorge was kidding with a lot of shots coming backwards. You could just see the difference in hand speed. You know, did grind him up against the cage a little bit. The pace was really fast, and Bisbing, who I didn't think was fantastic tonight on the call, by the way. You know, it's him and John Anik. And I'm not, you know, I think the broadcasts for the UFC have been pretty fantastic. And I do think he has a big level to get to, because I honestly think Daniel Cormier is the best thing in sports broadcasting right now, bar none. But Bisbing, you know, it was one of those things where it's just like, you ever have like a broadcaster, you think I didn't feel like he let Anik flow in enough. I felt like it was Bisbing the entire time. Either way, he said this, he did make a good point though about Jorge. Just, it seemed like his pace was pretty high. Like, he was swinging for the moon basically on everything. He was still pressed up against the cage at a point. And so, you know, was he able to keep that up? I did give the round to George. I didn't think it was a lopsided round for him, but I did give him the round because I didn't think that Usman did much with his wrestling. And that was actually the one round where you could really say George got off on his offense. And you know, it panned out for the scorecards, you know, two of the judges didn't even give him that round. But if you're a Masvidal fan, that definitely was the one round you could give him. Round two, Kamaru Usman got him pinned up against the cage early. Probably the least action we had in any of the rounds. This is where, you know, he started with the stamping of the feet. He's headbutted him for two straight rounds, which cut open Masvidal. No bueno there. Got some shoulder strikes in. You know, Jorge had some good final moments as the round was closing, but he spent so much of the round, you know, dealing with Usman leaning on him. You could just tell it already. Some of the steam was being let off the shots. You know, the round three was the most noticeable. I thought George is going to have a gas tank problem. And you know, this again goes to, all right, if he would have, I heard a little bit of Dana White afterwards and he's saying, well, you know, he was training for him the whole time. Oh, let me take a break. He's talking right now. I mean, isn't it adorable with this guy? Like, it's like, oh, he's been training for the whole time. Dude, you wouldn't pony up with him. If you don't, that's the thing that drives me nuts. It's just like, the guy's never wrong. Like, never wrong. Never. It's like, never could acknowledge, oh, yeah, well, you know, maybe, yeah, like, if you, it's like, no, just acknowledge, yeah, he didn't have a full training camp. His camp was broken up, and that's that. And you're like, whoa, I mean, it was only like a two-week break. No, it was 5 weeks out from the fight, so it's cool, though, man. You know, do your thing, do your waltz, it's working for you, you know. You still find yourself to be the biggest thing in sports. It's cool. But yeah, round three was the most noticeable, and it was a point where there was two things that were going on there. You had Kamaru hit him low. The ref stopped it. Masvidal took the breather. And, you know, so they kind of reset. They're right there in the middle of the cage. And he just can't let it go. You know, like, you just, his arms just, they look weary. They look a little heavy. He said afterwards that he didn't have trust in the cardio that he had, that he probably should have gone a little bit more for Brooke. Maybe this was a situation where George should have, you know, gone for the kill a little bit more. You know, there's part of me that doesn't think George didn't want to get finished. Didn't want, you know, Usman to either choke him out or, you know, punch him into oblivion because he's got nothing left on the canvas. So he's a complete fighter. That's the thing with Jorge. And what I mean by that is, you know, not that he's, you know, as good a wrestler as Kamaru, but he doesn't have a lot of weaknesses. A lot of people, you know, when you say, like, did Jorge get ragdolled in this fight? That was the thought. Like, Colby Covington said he was going to get ragdolled. He didn't get ragdolled in this fight. You know, I think Usman nailed, like, what, set, like, 17, 18 attempts, and I think he got 5 of them. You know, but he still, I mean, look, I mean, there was definitely a big strength difference. I mean, that was very clear, and I don't think that's going away if they rematch. The you know, the element that George is going to have to do, he's going to have to be in a situation where I don't know if he's going to be able to utilize his kicks as much. Because I don't know what that looks like in a rematch if he's able to not be worn out by having to just keep Kamaru off of him. But it was very noticeable in round 3. Like, he just couldn't pull the trigger. And that was, I think, one of his best opportunities. And he took a shot. He did throw one shot. Usman ducked under it and took him down. And I thought that really was like the signal of, I don't think this is going to be Georgie's night. I didn't think it was going to be his night. When Usman got that first, like, true double leg takedown, I thought that was it. Even with him getting up after it, you know, he got tripped down right again. Usman started landing the elbows. And round 4 was a lot. It was starting to get to be the same story. Like, he was just getting to it a lot quicker. Kamaru was taking him down, back-to-back takedowns. Usman, you know, Masvidal have a nice little flurry, but it wasn't that long. Then he was back up against the cage, and, you know, he's just got deadly. And I was thinking to myself, this is, like, very reminiscent of him versus Maya. And this was probably even more exhausting than that fight was, you know, because Maya was kind of like, he was wearing Maya as a backpack the entire time. He's hand fighting. He's trying not to get choked out. And there's still arguments that he won that fight, like, because his exchanges were so good on the feet. With this one, he didn't really have anything left for Kamaru past midway in the fight. He just didn't. Round 5 was pretty much the same all she wrote. You got, you know, kind of a Hail Mary at the end, like a Hail Mary 45 seconds. Not much happening there. Boom, that's all she wrote. Kamaru Usman defends the belt, and he is still your welterweight champion. So where do these fellas go from here? I think that, you know, you could go a couple places. Kamaru, you know, the Gilbert Burns, he is number 1 right now. He didn't lose his position. So do they go to that fight? Possibly. I'm sure Kamaru doesn't want that fight. And it's not that he's scared of it. It's just a weird fight for him, man. I've spoken to multiple people who are close to Kamaru. Electric Man, Titan FC's told us he's cool with Kamaru. He's cool with Gilbert. Rashad Evans, who comes on the morning show frequently, he's just like, there's no way that's not a weird fight. He's mentioned Leon Edwards a couple times. It doesn't thrill, I think, anybody. One, he's beaten him, even if it was a long time ago. It feels like with Leon needs a win for people to remind people, you know, for us to be reminded of who he is. Him versus Jorge is an interesting one. I mean, like, I guess the question might be more so, okay, if it's not Gilbert, I know that Usman threw out the GSP Hail Mary tonight. I can't see. I think if GSP comes back for anybody, it's Khabib. I don't think it's going to be Kamaru for this, you know, greatest welterweight of all time. I think it's an unseatable throne. Even if Kamaru beats GSP, you know, just being the age that he is, I just don't think that's a mountain he can climb. I don't think it is. And, you know, you're talking about, okay, beating a guy who's 40 years old. I don't know, man. It's a tough look. So, no, I know a lot of people, my social media landscape was definitely skewed on Masvidal fans. It's not like Kamaru made a lot of fans who are in, I don't think he probably made a lot of it. I actually feel bad for Kamaru in some ways, because, you know, a lot of people were, not an exciting fighter. He's boring. you know, why would you perform like that when all the world's, bro, you got to perform to go win the title. Don't begrudge a guy for doing that. That's stupid. It really is. Like, and I'm not trying to sit here and argue and say it's an exciting style the way he went and won fights, but he has been an exciting fight. Him versus Colby was a fun fight. What he did to Tyron Woodley, if you guys had seen the ride that Tyron Woodley had been on and how he beat him, holy crap, man. So, look, his resume is getting very impressive. Very, very impressive. You know, when you're scrambling this much to look at guys in the welterweight division, like, who do you actually think is a challenge? And, you know, he's got to reach to the welterweight goat to do it. You know, you're doing some damn good things. So, yeah, he deserves a lot of praise just for his title reign. It's been very impressive. And, yeah, I do think he deserves some, you know, he was saying, you know, don't I deserve some credit for staying in and taking the fight on 6 days' notice? Yes. But also in some ways, like, if you're gonna hit George with, you know, this is who I was preparing for the whole time, you know, we know that he was preparing for Masvidal a lot of the time too. So, you know, I just give him a lot of credit because he went and he executed better. He did. And Masvidal didn't. And, you know, Masvidal afterwards is saying, you know, with a full training camp and all that type of stuff, he wasn't so much talking about the shape, but he feels like the game plan would be better if his second time around, that he knows the map to getting it. I do think there is some questions though. If you're a Jorge Masvidal fan, if you are him, you know, does that involve being able to beat him in a 5-round fight? Because, you know, I went into this and I picked him to win, but I think my pick was last week that I said I thought George could get 3 rounds. And, you know, I do think there were probably because Usman was fighting, he was fighting a wrestling style, which obviously the judges like, because they gave him all 5 rounds. So not even the round that people thought Masvidal could have gotten, which was round one. They didn't even give him that. But if you do get if you do get 3 guys, and we'll get into the judges from the co-main event in a minute. But if you do get the right guys in there and they like your style, could he go and win 3 rounds out of 5? Perhaps, if he's able to keep up that striking pace. I think the question is, can he keep that pace off after also having to keep Usman off of him? Can he, you know, he was saying, you know, I got to believe in my cardio a little bit more. He told Megan O'Leary that afterwards. Oh, we'll see, man. He says he's going to be back in the gym real quick. If I had to handicap what his next fight was, if I had to guess what his next fight would be, I would put it in this. I think Conor McGregor's out right now. That was the big play. I think that if he would have won that, you guys know what I said this week on my show. I said Hard Rock Stadium, January 2021, Masvidal and McGregor would have been in Miami. He kind of dismissed Colby afterwards, although I don't think you should dismiss that, because I think it's a fun grudge match. Colby is, you know, number two in the rankings. So if Gilbert Burns is going to get the title shot, rankings wise, it makes the most sense to fight him. Leon Edwards, obviously, you have the 3-piece Minnesota thing. So that's got a nice background to it. Could you put that as a co-main with Kamaru and Gilbert? You could do that. Or Nate Diaz. If I had to guess, I would say, man. If I had to guess, I'm going to say Jorge, Leon Edwards. I think that would be the route I would probably go. You know what? No. No. You know what? I'll be bold on it. I'm going to say this. I would go him versus Leon Edwards, because outside of Colby, welterweight guy that people probably respect the most, he's not going to fight Tyron, they're boys. So I would go him versus Leon Edwards, then him versus Nate, then him versus Colby. I don't think that they'll match him up with Colby, because not because they think Colby will beat him, even though maybe Colby can. But I just don't think that they want to fight another wrestler be in a position where maybe Jorge just loses a style matchup rather than just an outright fight. And I think that's probably the route they're going to go. I would say it's probably going to be, I'm going to say they fight the highest ranked guy who's not Colby Covington. And I guess that would be Leon Edwards. So that's what I would guess, because he's not going to fight Tyron. They're close. And then Nate, I would put two stylistically. He's already beaten him. Two stars fighting each other. Although I don't know if those two could main event a pay-per-view again. I don't know if that would sell the way it did the first time. Just because, you know, the BMF, the organicness of it, the Rock, all that type of stuff. I just don't know if it could live up to that again. So I would go with that, and then I would say Colby third. Not even that he's just not the most deserving to fight Jorge. I just think that the two of them, they don't seem to like really want to fight each other that much. I don't think Colby really wants to fight him. I don't think Jorge wants to fight him. I think they used to be close, had a bad falling out. Maybe know each other too well. I don't know. I don't know. Something about those two just doesn't seem like it's squaring off in the right way. So I think if I had to guess Jorge's next fight, I would guess it's going to be Leon Edwards. I think that's the route you go. As you fight the guy, three piece in a soda. He can roll that video time after time again. Winner gets the title shot, and I think that's the smart play. We'll be back with more. We got to talk about the rest of this card, guys. Got to talk about co-main event. We'll talk about the bantamweight title fight. A lot of great stuff to dive into from tonight. So we'll be on that on the other side right after this. All right, welcome back, guys. It is Fighters Fury here on 790 The Ticket. Tobin here with you. Let's get into a little bit of the rest of the card from last night. I'm sure during Monday's show with me and Leroy, I'll get into plenty more of Masvidal versus Usman and what was. Honestly, most controversial thing of the night was the co-main event. You had Alexander Volkanovski against Max Holloway, and Alex ends up getting the win. He won 49-48, split decision victory. And I just thought it was a bad call. I thought it was a garbage decision. And, you know, it's tough in these sports with 5-round fights to call things robberies. You know, but this is kind of sometimes this is the danger of how this sport is, because the margin for error is so small with these judges. So, for example, I'm a big proponent of this, that a lot of the times when we're watching fights, judging fights, any of this type of stuff, even if you're a novice, a lot of the times what happens in a fight that starts so dominant is we do things called curve grading or curve scoring. And curve scoring is, you are giving a guy more of the benefit of the doubt to win a round because he didn't look as bad as he did in the rounds he was getting absolutely beat up. So rounds one and two, easy wins for Max Holloway. Big adjustment by him with the leg kicks that were in the first fight, where he got off to the slow start. He was getting chopped up with the leg kicks. He was going leg kick for leg kick. So he was taking that element of the game away from the judges, or so he thought. But he was catching Alex with just some vicious shots, man. This is beautiful uppercuts, straight 1-2s right down the pipe. He was feinting the knee all night. He was hitting him to the body with the knee at times too. Just so versatile in the strikes. I just thought that it was just a massive performance by him. And so you're going into round two. He rocked Alex bad in round two. And it was even a point where it was seeing that, it was like, it felt like at the end of every round, Max was making the big statement. Round three, I feel like such a jerk for even scoring it this way, because I was doing the same thing that the judges fell victim to in this fight. because I remember waffling back and forth around three, and I don't have a significant scorecard, so sometimes I do things for my fan self, and I'm like, my initial reaction is, after round three, that's Max Holloway's round, and let's just move on. But I was like, yeah, you know what? Let's just give it to Volkanovski. You know, he was got his first takedown, even though it didn't do nothing. You know, Max was landing like the flasher stuff, another knee to the body. He was doing some Superman punches, just all that type of stuff. He's you know, getting things going. Volkanovski starts getting his best weapon of the fight going, which was his left hand. He was hitting these wild looping left hooks. And his jab was looking really solid. So he did have Max coming off on stuff like that. But, you know, I did feel like that was coming maybe a little bit too late. But I gave it to him. I was like, I don't want, you know, who wants to go to a fight? You know, it's a championship fight. Who wants to watch a championship fight thinking that it's 3-0 and Volkanovski has to knock him out, which he's probably not going to do. So I ended up giving the round to Alex. But I remember like, my fake scorecard, I was like putting it in there as it's 3-0 Max. I was like, you know what? His jab looked pretty good. Let's give Volkanovski the round. All right, fine. Then you had round four. And again, like Max Holloway he keeps hitting with this vicious uppercut, which is something, by the way, because he's a lot taller than Volkanovski, even though Volkanovski has the bigger reach. You know, Max is just like, he's dug it down. He's just got those fast hands. And, you know, he's hitting him with that left. He's taking him down. He's not doing anything with the takedowns. This isn't like Usman, who didn't even do much with his takedowns. This guy was doing nothing with his takedowns. And I just thought, nah, I'm not curve grading again. I thought Max had the more significant shots in that round. He ended the round with a big right hand again, and he just that was always the thing. It felt like the guy who won the round was always ending the round on a big statement, and you know. So I think Max is up 3-1, and we're going to this final round. Volkanovski clearly desperate. He definitely won this round. He was pressing forward. Max was, I think, probably thought that he had it in the bag, which maybe was if you're going to criticize Max for anything, that's probably a bad idea. Because you just lost a decision to this guy that you know, thought was crazy because you thought you won the fight clearly. But as he says, as blessed, it is what it is. So he fought how he fought it. And also give credit to Volkanovski. He was bringing the pace. He was pressing forward. These were real takedowns that he was getting. He ended the fight on top. Max maybe a little gassed, he definitely seemed like he came out with a very desperate pace, but I thought for sure we were ending with a pretty solid three. You know, I thought it was either 4-1 or 3-2 Max Holloway. I didn't think that 3-2 Volkanovski, and I saw people score this. I saw our boy George Sedano, you know, bringing out his karate credentials and whatnot. I saw a couple people say Volkanovski, and I'm just like, nah, bruh. I can't get down with Volkanovski getting this fight. I'm sorry. You know, so the scores get read, and Bruce Buffer does the thing where he's not saying it's a unanimous decision, so he's going to do the blip, blip, blip. Goes Holloway, then he goes Volkanovski, and then it goes for Volkanovski, and still. And I immediately am just like, bad call. Because we all watch the fight, and I think if you watch and this isn't like a thing of, oh, well, you know, it's how it's scored. Nah. If to come away with that fight thinking that Alexander Volkanovski won the majority of that fight, rounds, time, control, any strikes, any aspect of that fight, you're sorely mistaken. You're just sorely mistaken. And, you know, even if the strikes looked significantly closer because he was landing, he did land more leg kicks. Those leg kicks weren't affecting Max Holloway. They weren't. Max was returning basically shot for shot. Maybe not the volume, but, you know, he didn't start landing punches basically until the third round. I just can't jive with that decision, man. I can't. I think it's a horrible decision. And I thought Max got screwed. And I think that the problem with this is it has such significant consequences. Because if you're Alexander Volkanovski, I tell you what I don't want. I don't want to fight Max Holloway anymore. It's not a blockbuster fight for you. Now, I don't know what the big grab now is for Volkanovski, but I ain't interested in fighting Max Holloway. I've beaten him. I've taken him on twice. I've beaten him twice. And normally if a champ does that, that's that. Now, will UFC make a concession? Will they, look at this and say, well, Max is arguably the greatest featherweight champion of all time. They do that all the time. Here's the thing, though. The thing that sucks for Max is if he wins this and he becomes a two-time champion, I think they're actually, I think that argument of best featherweight champion of all time is more in the books. Like, I've always had problems saying that he's the best because they do the same thing every time. Is they always say it's either Max or Jose Aldo, who we'll get to his performance in a minute too. But I think I always say the greatest featherweight champion of all time is Conor McGregor. And I don't even know how it's arguable with the rise that he had and how he cut through the division. Holloway, Poirier, Aldo in, what was it, 15 seconds. Chad Mendez on a short switch. I just don't, and the way that he did it, just demolishing everybody. Max Holloway, he didn't demolish, but he had a torn ACL in the midst of the fight. Neither here nor there. I'm not here to argue who the greatest featherweight of all time is. The point is, I do think that if Max becomes a two-time champ, then the resume obviously gets built up a little bit more. And I just think the judges completely hosed him in this. And what does he do now? Does he go to 150? If I'm him, I don't even know if I go to one. I know his first trip to 155 wasn't fantastic. He got pieced up pretty badly by Dustin Poirier. His other venture, he never really got to do because he was supposed to fight Khabib on short notice. But I find, at that point, like, what else do I do? Do I stick around and, fight Zabit? Can you beat Brian Ortega worse than you did? You fight Korean Zombie? You're going to sit here and be in the midst with all these guys? Like, I don't know. If I'm him, I'm not down for that, I guess. It's just, I don't think that would get my juices flowing. Now, who knows? He's a professional fighter. He's a professional fighter. He wants to make a living. I'm sure he'll end up fighting some of these guys. But the point is, legacy-wise, he should be setting himself up for a trilogy fight with Alexander Volkanovski. And instead, now he's kind of in no man's land. He's, maybe not set for lightweight. He's kind of done all there is to do at featherweight. And all because these judges don't know what they're doing. They don't. And we can sit here and say, well, there's an argument for Volkanovski to win 3-2. Yeah, but it's not a good argument. It's not a good argument that, the reality of it is that Max Holloway very clearly won 3 out of 5 rounds, which means he should have the belt wrapped around his waist. And there's a better argument for Max to win 4 out of 5 rounds than there is for Volkanovski to win 3 out of 5. And that's just that. So that sucks. Sucks for Max Holloway. I feel horrible for him. Third championship fight we had, the first championship fight of the card that we had was the bantamweight title, Petr Yan versus Jose Aldo. Awesome fight. Awesome fight. Awesome fight that really, especially the first three rounds. It was like Street Fighter stuff. These guys were throwing some crazy stuff, and Jose looked game, man. Jose looked like he was ready for this. I thought Jan took it early, hit Jose with a big right hand. But the big thing that we noticed was the Aldo kicks were back. The kicks were back, baby, and we hadn't seen those in a while. Jose actually kind of made an error, and that was going for the takedown. And I know that got a lot of praise from Bisbing, who wasn't fantastic on the call tonight, by the way. I know I mentioned that earlier, but he wasn't. But ended up being a huge mistake because Jan ended up blistering him. Nearly looked like he finished him because he hit him in the ribs. And it looked like Aldo wanted to stop. So that was tough. That was a tough ending to it. But then Aldo definitely took round two. He looked awesome. Was looking like a 33-year-old vintage. I had seen a 33-year-old called vintage like that since D-Wade, baby. He was looking really, really good. Had Jan guessing. His defense was fantastic. He was making a miss. Round three, I thought that Aldo was just going at it a little bit quicker. He really bothered Jan to the body. Second half of the round, Jan was coming on, but I thought that Jose was just making a miss. And then I don't know. Round four just all turned, man. It was lopsided. Aldo was just, he looked toasted. I don't know if I didn't go back and watch this fight yet. I don't know, it's tough to know if he got hit with something that just really roasted him, but he was just tapped after three rounds. Hit him with a devastating uppercut against the cage. He tripped him out, finished on top of him again. And then round five was like an execution. It was Jan putting him down on the canvas early, put Aldo in a crucifix. He was just unleashing hell on him. A lot of people were upset with the referee. Definitely let it go on too long. I think Aldo's okay, but Jan put it on him. I don't know. Like, it looked like a fight where he was losing to, he looked completely dominant from in round four and five. It was a complete switch. So, he's going to be a great, he looks like a pretty great bantamweight champion. Excuse me. I did see that Cejudo was calling him out afterwards. So, God, Aljamain Sterling would be so pissed if Cejudo decides to come back now. Because him versus Aljamain seems like a pretty awesome fight. But we'll see. We'll see. Obviously, if Triple C comes back, then you're going to have the old champion fight him. I think it's probably smarter to have Aljamain fight and see if Aljamain comes on top. Because I just feel like Aljamain versus Cejudo weird reason, it's just a much more marketable fight because of them being able to talk to each other. Jan, it's just like Jan was like ignoring the ref. The ref kept asking him to stop putting his fingers out. He clearly just doesn't speak Russian. He doesn't understand a thing he says, man. I don't know what to tell you. That was the title fights, man. Quickly, because we're running out of time here. So Rose Namajunas versus Jessica Andrade, agreed with it. With the judges who had a 29-28 for Rose. I thought that she edged out the first two rounds. I thought that the striking numbers dictated that. Andrade looked definitely took round three and busted her up and had Rose bleeding from the nose. Her eye was closing up. So, if this was a championship fight, probably would have been bad news for Rose. But, definitely took the first two rounds. It was a really great striking display. Those girls are awesome. Great performance by them. Amanda Ribas, she gave it to Paige VanZant. Beat her by armbar real quick. This is the last fight on PBC's contract. I think she's going to go to Bellator, man. I know that Ben Askren said that on Twitter. Helwani said that on Twitter. Makes sense. Her husband's there. Has been pretty public about her gripe with the pay with the UFC. She's a ratings monster. Her record's not fantastic and she's had a lot of health problems, especially with that arm. But, I wouldn't be surprised if she goes to Bellator either. I think that makes a lot of sense. So, I'm running over here. So I just want to get a couple things out of the way, from the prelims. Prozhaga, is that how you pronounce it? The dude from Czech, he's awesome. That dude's like a chameleon. I'll get his name right after watching him a couple more times. But that dude was like looking off. He's like Nuke Lelouch. He's like the Nuke Lelouch of MMA, looking off and like doing the punching. Vicious knockout on Uzdemir, absolutely sick. Amir Khani, sick anaconda choke on Danny Henry to get the win. Leandro Santos against Bogatov. Bogatov, that guy doesn't know how to follow the rules. Hit him in the balls a bunch of times. Need him. I was surprised he wasn't DQ'd after that quite frankly. I thought that he should have been. So yeah, that's that, man. We got two more cards coming up this week from Fight Island, so we'll have plenty to react to next week, and I'm sure we'll get more from the mouth of Jorge Masvidal and Kamaru Usman and see what more of the fallout is from there. But that is our recap of the card, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to Fighters Fury. We appreciate it. Download the podcast. Subscribe to the show on YouTube as well. Look up Fighters Fury. Look up Tobin on YouTube. And you guys can please subscribe, like the videos there. And they'll all be up on theticketmiami.com as well. Download the podcast too. Subscribe there. So if you missed any of this show, you can get the whole episode. And of course, you got the radio.com app and you can rewind it there as well. Love you guys. And we'll talk to you next time. See you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.